Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, February the 9th. And we're getting a little bit of rain. It's like 36 with a little bit of rain. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get a few flurries somewhere in North Texas. When you have temperatures like this and you've got precipitation, very often you get flurries. But that's where we are. We were very warm about 3 days ago, and now here we are, 36, precipitation. And I know I've heard from some people that there are some flurries around the North Texas area. So maybe we'll get some tonight as well. Well, today we're going to talk about an article that I had I had this morning over at the American Thinker about this young woman representative, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I have an article about her because I think this young woman is really, she's getting to the point where if I was a Democrat, I would really be concerned with all the attention she seems to be getting. I mean, she's like the face of the party, and I'm not sure that that's a face you want if you want to win, you know, in more centrist districts, as I like to say. We're also going to talk about a post that I have coming out Sunday morning about these Covington kids. You know, these are the kids who were, I think, poorly treated when they went to that the pro-life march in Washington, D.C., and apparently they're getting together. They have a lawyer. They're getting together, and they're going after some of the social media people, and I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it, and I'll tell you why. Let me begin, though, with a couple of quick stories here in the last couple of hours. Senator Elizabeth Warren, I guess, made it official today. She's running for president. You know, I guess anybody can run for president as long as you're 35 and you've lived in the same state for 14 years. I think those are the only, I guess you have to be born in the United States also. But as long as you meet those qualifications, you can run for president. But it is amazing to me that this woman is even thinking about running for president when you consider what a farce and what a fraud she is. This is a woman who, back in the 1980s, in order to apply for the bar here in Texas, she decided to put on her application that she was American Indian. She has basically used the game of identity politics to get ahead in life. And I would have to think that there's a lot of real Native Americans who are not very happy with someone who does stuff like that. So how far is she going to get? I don't know. I mean, she'll probably get into a few debates and rattle things a little bit. But I don't think she has a very good message. I mean, she's way to the left of where the country is. And on top of that, you know, every time I hear her on the radio or hear her on TV, or I mean, hear her on the radio or listen to her on TV, her message is that everything is terrible, everything is horrible, everything is terrible. I just don't think that's going to fly because everything is not terrible. On the contrary, things are doing quite well in this economy. So good luck to Elizabeth Warren, but I don't think she's going to go very far. And if she does, then that really tells you how far to the left this party has gone. And she's going to be blown away by President Trump if that's the match in 2020. There's also some news coming out of the Washington area that the border deal, this deal that they're working on to stop another shutdown, that apparently something is happening, that it's moving in the right direction. You hear positive things, and then sometimes you don't hear. My sense is that they're going to work out a deal. And it's going to be one of those deals where every side wins, which is, I guess, what happens when you work out a deal. But I think there's a lot of Democrats. There's a lot of Democrats who do not want to be branded with, you know, the headline, or with they don't want to be painted with the brush, I should say, that they're not interested in border security, or that they do not understand that there's a border crisis. I think in many of these new representatives who were elected in these centrist districts, I think they understand they cannot run for office in 2020 saying that they don't see a crisis on the border and that they voted against doing anything about it. They just simply politically cannot do it. So that's why I think there's going to be a deal, and then we'll go from there. If there isn't a deal, well, then that's going to get very complicated. But let's just assume there's going to be a deal for now, because if there isn't a deal, then I guess President Trump is going to have to use another option. I don't think you'll shut down the government again, but I think you'll go in the direction of maybe just using some funds that he has already to do the deal. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully it will work out. And here's another story, too, that is fascinating. You may remember that Amazon, this just broke, I guess, in the last couple of hours. Amazon was going to put a big headquarters, or a big office, I should say, in New York City, was going to employ a bunch of people. Well, apparently right now, many New York Democrats are opposed to this. And, you know, Amazon may not even open or may not even go to New York, may have to go somewhere else. And really, when you think about it, what a loss that would be for the city of New York and for the economy of New York to have an operation like this. I don't know exactly how many jobs it's going to create, but it's going to create, I've heard as many as 20,000 jobs. That's a lot of jobs at a time when the city of New York, the state of New York, is having a serious tax collection problem. I don't know if you saw the story a couple of days ago of Governor Cuomo. He was saying, let's stop raising taxes on the rich because all we're doing is driving out the rich. It's exactly right. If you raise taxes on people to a point, they're just going to pack up and leave, especially these days when you can do business and, you know, in so many other places with technology and all of that. You could have a virtual address in another state and still do business out of New York. So it's just a sign of what's wrong with this political party, the Democrats, that they are basically so anti-business that they would do something like this. It's insane, but that's the modern Democrat Party. I just don't know what else to tell you. Well, speaking of New York Democrats, as I said, I have a post this morning over at the American Thinker about Representative Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, who in the last couple of days has made some incredible remarks. She's made a bunch of them since she became a front page story back whenever it was. But she's been making a lot of headlines. The last one is really incredible. She says that she wants to defund ICE, which is really stupid. I mean, that is so stupid. ICE is a valuable organization to protect the country. So why would you want to defund ICE? It's idiotic. But then she goes further than that. She says that the Latinos should be exempt from immigration law. And her explanation is that Latinos were here before the Europeans got here, which is, of course, pretty stupid. Now, it is true that there were Native Americans living in what we now call North America. That's true. And it's also true that they were not treated very well. That's all true. That's part of history, and nobody is overlooking that. But most of the Hispanics in the United States do not come from those groups. Most of them, for example, even the Mexicans, many of them are the result of Spanish, you know, native Mexican mixture. I mean, certainly the Cubans who came here were not of Native American origin. The Puerto Ricans, the Dominicans, the Colombians, not at all. And for this woman to make a statement like that, it just gives you, I mean, you just sit there and say, what is wrong with this woman? How is this woman not challenged anywhere she goes? I mean, this woman should be, if I was a Democrat, I would take this young woman and just tell her to shut up for the next 6 months. She's not helping the party, not helping the party one bit by doing anything like this. In fact, I would argue that sometimes, and this is, you know, I really feel this way, I think sometimes she must be a Republican spy, because she's doing everything she's doing is helping President Trump get reelected. I just don't know what else to say. This is a young woman who is driving a lot of Democrats, a lot of independents, I should say, away from the Democrats. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear from Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerin Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' schedule on the show description. Right under the show description, you'll see the the last line there in the show description. You'll see check Carlo's schedule, and you'll be able to find out where he's playing around town. And everywhere he goes, the dining experience is better because his music in the background is just absolutely wonderful, just absolutely, absolutely marvelous. Well, we say happy number 77 to Carole King, one of the great composers and entertainers of the last 50 years. You know, she and her husband wrote many, many hits in the 1960s for other people, including the Beatles, you know, Baby It's You and Chains, and for lots and lots of groups. So Carole King, one of the great, great composers, pop music composers, I should say, of the last 50 or 60 years. And it was on this day in 1964, so that would make it 55 years ago, that the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. And I did not watch it, okay? I was not living in the United States at the time. But friends of mine who did have a chance to watch it, and from the things I've read and the things I've seen, it was just an absolutely electric performance. And in so many ways, it just changed everything. I mean, I've read that something like 70% of the television sets in the United States were tuned in to the Beatles that night on the Ed Sullivan Show. It was just remarkable. Now, they were actually on the Ed Sullivan Show three consecutive Sundays, the 9th, the 16th, and the 23rd. They performed three consecutive Sundays. I don't know whether they got the same percentage of television sets the next two times, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But it had to be one of the greatest television events of the 20th century, the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. And just amazing. I think anybody who lived through that will tell you exactly, or will confirm exactly what I just said. Well, let's talk a little bit about these Covington High School kids. You may remember these were the young men who had gone to Washington as part of the March for Life parade. Many high schools send their students to these pro-life activities. They attend a Catholic high school somewhere in Kentucky. I'm not exactly sure where in Kentucky it is. And while they were there, they became, let's just say, the targets of some harassment. And the way that it was originally reported, it sounded like if these young people were making fun of Native Americans and insulting people. And so many people in the media jumped on this. I mean, it was like, you know, just a bunch of angry animals going after a piece of meat. And it really became a disaster. But then when the whole video came out, we had a chance to see the whole story, then it turned out that it was the exact opposite, that they were the victims of harassment, that they're the ones who were being yelled at. In fact, there's even one of the young men is a black young man, and he was being harassed for the fact that he was, you know, hanging around with the white kids. Well, this whole thing exploded. I think everybody knows now that the whole thing was poorly reported. Well, the young men and their families have retained a couple of law firms, one very powerful law firm that apparently has done work like this before, and they are suing everyone who tweeted and some of the organizations, as well as a few politicians too. They're tweeting all these people. I mean, they're suing all these people for what they wrote and what they said, and it's interesting because they've sent out these letters to all of these people. And the letter basically says, hey, we'll see you in court. If you don't apologize publicly, we're going to see you in court. Where this goes, I don't know. Because as you know, it's very tough to win these libel suits in the United States because you have to prove malice. But then on the other hand, when you see the language and even some people calling for their execution of these young men, you know, I'm not so sure that's going to be that difficult to prove malice. I think if this case gets in front of a jury, if this case can make it to a jury, it's going to be in Kentucky, I assume, where they're suing. If this case makes it to a jury, I think there is a chance that these kids could win because this was such a crazy attack on them by these people that I think if they go to a jury, I think a jury may very well rule in favor of the kids, which I think would be great. Because this tweet mob has to be stopped. The attacks that social media is using these days have got to be stopped, and maybe this is the time to do it. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.